to be saved that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
Dear friends, welcome to worship today. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to the pulpit the Reverend Diane Collery. God has refreshed and renewed her. He has placed a great message in her for this week, a message of great news, of the best news. And while Diane was on leave, weren't we well taken care of by the Reverends Foster Freed and Phil Spencer, by our licensed lay worship leader, Jane Meeker, and by Andy Gilman? We are so grateful for their care. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the call to worship for this week. The earth has its kings, but God is ruler of all. Praise God above all, the giver of life. The mountains may tremble, the oceans may roar, but God's presence is more powerful than the earth itself. Come into God's presence, for God is among us now. O God, show us your glory. We seek your ways. Come to the rock, the God of life, for God is present now. And we're going to hear more about God's presence with us throughout the service. So right now, let's light the Christ candle, remembering that Christ came close to be with us always. Let us pray. Come to us, Holy God, as we gather before you. Encircle us with your love. Bless us with your sustaining presence. Surround us with your grace. Draw us round your living word and bind us to one another as disciples of Christ, whose spirit is in our midst. Amen. Let's come to a time of confession, remembering that Jesus Christ is our hope. Our confidence is in him. God of mercy, we place our trust in tangible things, things we can see and touch, and question whether you are really there. Forgive us, Holy One, when we fail to recognize that you are always nearby, patiently waiting for us to recognize your presence and your glory. Help us when we lose our way, and forgive us when we forget to whom we truly belong. Lover of justice, open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to love you, and open our hands to serve you. Amen.
Dear friends, persistently, patiently, lovingly, God pours out grace and joy into our lives, healing our brokenness and forgiving our sin. So loved, we are sent to love. Forgiven, we become free to forgive ourselves. And graced, we can offer our grace and our gifts to everyone we meet. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
This morning's reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 to 23, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. The word of the Lord.
Just before I launch into some musings on this wonderful scripture passage we have before us today, I want to take a few moments just to offer some thank yous. Most, if not all of you, are well aware that this is my first week back after having been on leave for 3 months. And yes, it was a good leave. In some ways, it was different than I expected, but isn't that just typical of God? It was obvious to me going into it, and even more obvious once I was off, that I actually really needed that time. And so I am very, very grateful to everyone who encouraged me to take it and made that possible. Some special thank yous need to be made. I want to thank all of the people who so ably filled this pulpit while I was gone. Thank you to Andy and to Jane and to Foster and to Phil. I understand that they did a spectacular job. I also want to thank Foster for covering our pastoral care needs over these months. And a special thank you to Phil for stepping back in to guide the congregation as our pastoral charge supervisor. I need to thank Fiona and Adele and Amanda for all of the planned and unplanned ways that they covered for me in my absence. And thank you to the board and the Ministry and Personnel Committee for supporting my taking this leave. But you know, mostly I want to thank you all. To a person, everyone who spoke to me was so supportive and encouraging of me taking this time. And I understand that you have carried on the vital ministry and work of this congregation without a hitch over these 3 months. I'm not surprised, but I have to tell you that that absolutely makes my heart sing. You truly are saints, living out the very important work of the church in our community and in our world. So well done, dear friends, and thank you. But now I'm back. And before we're done today, you may find yourself wishing that maybe I wasn't, because today I'm going to ask your patience as I talk a little more personally than I usually do. I promise that next week I'll go back to normal. But today I want to share a little bit about my time on leave with you in the hope that perhaps it might connect for you in some way. And at the very least, will give you a sense of maybe what I was up to on my non-sabbatical sabbatical. As some of you know, apart from resting from the work of daily ministry, I was hoping going into these 3 months that I would have an opportunity to spend some more intentional time reestablishing some sadly neglected personal spiritual disciplines. I needed to get my own personal prayer life back in order. And I'm delighted to be able to share with you that I feel like I've been able to do that with the gentle and wise guidance of a dear friend and spiritual director. We met a number of times over the summer to discern how God was leading me in prayer. And part of that process involved discerning a grace, Something that I would seek God for every day in this season of my life. Well, after a few weeks, we both sensed that the grace that I was being led to, the grace that was actually the deep longing of my heart, was for me to be able to live in God's presence and God's peace more fully. So each morning, my prayers begin with me asking God for the grace to do just that, to live with a sense of God's presence with me, and to open myself to the peace that comes with that more fully. So knowing that, you probably now have a sense of why when I saw that this passage was one of the prescribed readings for the lectionary for this week, I would pick it. To be clear, my experiences over these past few months did lead me to pick the text, but it is in no way just about me. This reading has something really important, something I believe is vitally important for us all to hold on to as we live out our faith. Because this reading is all about God's presence. This part of the Israelite story shows us how the promise of God's presence has long been part of both the Jewish faith and our Christian faith. It shows us why the promise of God's presence is so central, absolutely foundational for us. And my hope is that in remembering this part of the story of Moses and Israel with God, we might be helped to not take this promise for granted, which is something that I know at times I can be at risk of doing. It is such a simple promise. And it's one that we sing about and pray about and talk about all the time. We get it. God is with us. And yet, experiencing this promise of his presence with me was the one thing that God kept leading me to seek over these months. Perhaps because, simple and familiar as it may be, it is the one aspect of our faith that we cannot possibly do without as we try to follow Jesus each day. So now, as we turn to the reading itself, a little context is really helpful because we are picking this up well after a bunch of the larger story it's a part of has already played out. And what has happened before this is important to understand. Just prior to this, the people had messed up mightily. You'll remember that the Israelites had escaped from slavery in Egypt and they were on their way through the wilderness towards the land that God had promised Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob, the land that would one day be theirs. They were being led, provided for, and cared for by God as they went. And yet, even with that, they fell into a trap that people so easily fall into. They got distracted, and in the process, they slipped into worshiping other gods. It happened when Moses was up the holy mountain receiving the tablets from God that would have the commandments on them, the law. Remember, Moses was kind of their connection with God's presence, and so in the people's estimation, he had been gone too long. They were missing that. And so they got frustrated and they got tired of waiting. They built a golden idol in the shape of a calf and then proceeded to bow down and make sacrifices to it. They turned their devotion away from the living God to a statue that they could see and touch. Well, needless to say, God was not impressed and pronounced that because of their infidelity, he would no longer be with them in the same way that he had promised to be. Instead of going before them himself, he said that he would send an angel with them. Well, that was not good news. Understandable, maybe, given their behavior, but not good. And so, as we come to our reading, we hear how Moses goes to God on behalf of the people and asks him to relent and reconsider. Now, if you were really listening in the scripture reading, you will realize that probably ask is not quite the right word to describe what Moses did. It sounds a lot more like Moses actually hounded God until he promised that he would go with the people. Moses was relentless. Remember, at this point, he actually has a lot of personal history with God. So he was very accustomed to meeting and talking with God, even when those conversations were anything but easy. So Moses kept at God here, arguing that God had to go with them. They were God's people. And as Moses boldly, even brazenly, if you think about it, reminded God, God, in case you've forgotten, God's presence with them is actually the very thing that distinguishes them from everyone else on the face of the earth. It is God's presence with God's people that actually is what makes God's people special. Well, this is truly an incredible story with tons of juicy theological tidbits, most of which I am not going to go anywhere near in this sermon today, because I really want us to focus on this idea, this reality of God's presence being with God's people. Moses effectively argued that it was essential for God's presence to be with the people if they were going to be able to live into their calling, which you will remember was to be a people who are set apart to live as an example of what life is like when you center your life around God. Moses argues that without God's presence with them, they wouldn't be able to do that. They would be no different than anyone else. Now, it is not obvious in our more familiar English translations, but if we could read Hebrew, we would clearly hear that Moses pushes for God to agree not just to be kind of generally around with the people, but for God to actually go with them and be with them each day as they traveled. Moses knew that they needed God with them throughout all that what would end up being a 40-year journey held. They would face much uncertainty and fear. And it was only if God's presence was with them that they would be able to get through that and emerge from it formed into a people who were living in the relationship with God that had always been God's plan. The process of journeying with God and facing all that came with God, that was the way that they were being prepared for that life with God that was waiting for them in that land they were headed to. Well, friends, we know well that this story of the Israelites is in many ways a prototype for our lives. As overused as the phrase may be, life really is a journey, and on that journey, most of what's ahead of us is largely unknown, no matter how hard we try to change that fact. That journey brings all sorts of things, doesn't it? But as we know from the stories of so many of our great saints, both ancient and modern, it is how we respond to what happens to us over the course of our lives that can be as or even more important than what actually happens. Because it's in facing what comes, whether it is good or challenging, joyous or heart-rending, it is in facing all of those things and finding our way through them that we too are formed into the people God is calling each of us to be. And as it was for the Israelites, this formation is actually preparing us for the life to come that God promises. It's the whole process of growing and maturing as a human and as a follower of Jesus. It's a process that is underway in all of us, and it is a process that we are not meant to try to do alone. As he was for the Israelites, God is with us through it all. Not just kind of generally with us, but actually here with us in this place, wherever you are right now, in this moment. So let's all just stop for a minute and let that sink in, really sink in. God is with you right now, right where you are. So stop for a few minutes of quiet. Let's listen, not so much with our ears, but with our heart. As you listen, you might get a sense of God's presence with you. Maybe a sense of peace, or maybe joy bubbling up, or maybe even the sense that you are surrounded by love. You know, sometimes when we do this, we do get a sense of God with us. And other times, maybe we don't. But it doesn't change the promise that God first made to Moses, and a promise he has repeated countless times since. God's presence is still with us wherever we go. And friends, when we learn to live remembering that this is true each and every day, it truly does change everything. The challenges of life still come, but stopping, like we just did, for just a few seconds, and listening with our hearts for that sense of God's presence with us, it can truly change how we see and face those challenges. So I want to invite you to join me in a simple little discipline that I have been practicing. As each day begins and ends, and maybe if necessary in the midst of the day, maybe in some times when you find yourself feeling a little stressed or anxious, just do what we did. Stop. Stop what you're doing and say to yourself, whether it's aloud or quietly, I'm not alone. You are here. You are with me. We are not alone, friends. God, you are here. You are with us every day. So I pray for each and every person here that you would help us all to remember that and to hold on to it as we go through all that each day brings. Help us to remember it today. Help us to remember it tomorrow. Help us to remember it forever. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, you're good.
Good morning. As we begin the prayers of the people today, my thoughts are consumed by the very devastating state of our world, and I wonder how to address God in a time when these horrendous conflicts are taking place. I want to just ask, why, God, why do you allow this to take place? But I know our God is a God of love, compassion, and caring, and God's spirit, like ours, must be aching because of the actions of his children here on earth. Be patient with us, Lord. I'll offer a short silence at the end of each. Lord, hear our prayers for you to offer your own prayers. So let us pray. God, your family here at St. Stephen's has gathered to worship you and to give thanks for the love, grace, and hope that you share with us as we do. We understand that your timelines are different than our own, and it's confusing to us how many people here on earth do not understand or believe in your love or the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is very hard for us to understand why there's so much conflict, seemingly all over the world at this time, and yes, even here in Oceanside. Most gracious God, we lift up to you all of those who are involved in military conflict in the Ukraine, Gaza, Israel, Yemen, Somalia, Haiti, or wherever innocent people are being treated in a manner that is different from the teachings of your Son, Jesus. Bring them comfort, safety, and grace as they reach out to you for help. We also lift up to you, God, those who are being discriminated against because of their history and current life choices. We ask that you let them feel your love and that you provide shelter for them out of harm's way. We also lift up those who are the persecutors in these two all too many incidences. We ask that you show them a better path to follow as Jesus taught us to love your neighbors as yourself. Lord, hear our prayers. Compassionate God, we lift up to you all of those who are suffering from mental and physical health issues in Oceanside and across this great country. Share your healing power with each of them and help them to know that they are not alone and they are always by your side. You are always by their side to lend them comfort and healing. Lord, we also lift up the caregivers who, through their own love, will often put themselves at risk to help a suffering friend or family member. We ask that you give them the strength and encouragement they need to bring this care to their loved ones. We ask for your healing and grace for all of those souls so that they might know that they are not alone and cradled in your loving embrace. We ask as well that you guide and support all of those who in Jesus' steps are providing food, shelter, clothing, and care for your children in need. Lord, hear our prayers. Most creative God, we are constantly in awe of your creation, the beauty and majesty of the smallest creatures, the beautiful flowers, the majestic oceans and plains. The diversity is breathtaking. We know that humans, as part of your creation, have not treated your garden as you would have hoped we would. We can do better with your guidance and presence in our decision making. We know you have instilled in your creation the ability of living things to recover, evolve, and thrive if they're given a chance to do so. Lord, we ask that you teach us how to live in harmony with your creation and give us the wisdom and strength to repair your garden to its full glory so that we can once again walk with you here. Lord, hear our prayers. Guiding God, in your love, we're always aware of how Jesus taught us to live in your way. God, we ask that you provide guidance to those who are leading your church here in Oceanside and across the world, teaching them the message of love your neighbor as yourself. We ask that you instill this wisdom in the political leaders here in Canada and around the world, and that you bring your love to the forefront of the decision-making process of leaders in every country, and we can live as brothers and sisters in your love and grace going forward. Lord, hear our prayers. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to know your will, and as we conclude our prayers, we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray when they asked him to teach them how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, St. Stephen's, for all the ways you give to the mission of God in this congregation. Let's pray together over the gifts that are given this week. Ever-present God, with this offering we present also ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, and all that we shall become, and our resolve to walk in your way. Accept us and our offering, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I have two important dates for you to remember. The first is Saturday, November 4th. On that evening, we are going to gather here at 5:30 for our annual fall supper. It's going to be a turkey dinner with some entertainment. And we hope that if you are able, if you're local on that day, that you will attend. If you're interested in attending, just so we know how many people to cook and set for, we're asking for you to register for the dinner. You can do that either online, and there's a link on the church website if that works for you. But if that doesn't, just give the office a call, talk to Adele, and she'll make sure you get a seat reserved. We hope we see lots and lots of you there. It's a wonderful chance for us to gather together just because we like being together. The second date is in December. It's Sunday, December 10th at 2 p.m. That's the day we're going to have this year's cantata. It's going to be a wonderful brand new cantata called A New and Glorious Morn. And it's being led by our choir director, Ann Bennett, with a greatly expanded choir, including some of our folks and some people from the community. So we're very excited about that, and we hope you'll mark that day on your calendars. It's a lovely, lovely afternoon that gets us into the Christmas spirit. Dear friends, go now as those who have found favor in the sight of God. Be imitators of Jesus Christ and an example to all of the faith. To the world in which you live, give your love and service. And to God, give all that you are and all that you ever shall be. And may the glory of God's goodness be revealed to you. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ take root in you, and may the inspiration of the Holy Spirit fill you with joy. We go now in peace and in love to serve Jesus in the world. Amen.
Above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Yeah, forever God is faithful, forever God is true.
an outstretched storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.